Let's read together Psalm 91. In this psalm of trust, the committed believer is seen as safe and secure in the protection of the Almighty. Psalm 91, beginning with verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's begin our study of Psalm 91 with some background notes. As you can see, there is no title to Psalm 91. So we don't know who wrote this psalm, and we don't know the occasion of this psalm. Some commentators are convinced that Moses wrote this psalm along with Psalm 90, because there seems to be a striking parallel contrast between the two psalms. In Psalm 90, there is divine judgment on the unfaithful in Israel, whereas in Psalm 91, there is divine protection for the faithful in Israel. Psalm 91 is a wonderful psalm to read when you're scared, maybe when you're home alone at night and you hear an unusual noise, or when you're out camping at night and you hear some kind of footsteps in the woods outside your tent. Have you ever had that experience? I think we all have. Psalm 91 is also an excellent psalm to send to someone who is facing danger, such as a close friend or relative in the military, or in an unstable part of this world. Psalm 91 is a messianic psalm. And Satan apparently realized this because he specifically quoted verses 11 and 12 in reference to Christ during the time of our Lord's testing in the wilderness. Of course, Satan quoted these verses out of context, as we'll see. And it is significant that he did not quote verse 13, which predicted his own doom from the messianic perspective. Verse 13, you, that is the Messiah, will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. While Psalm 91 is a messianic psalm, its truths can certainly be appropriated and applied to all committed believers. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point for Psalm 91. Doctrinal point number one, believers are immune to the normal fears of life. Believers are immune to the normal fears of life. Verse 5 says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. But wait a minute, you say. I'm still afraid of the night because I don't know what's out there, and I'm still afraid that a stray arrow or bullet may come my way. Well, yes, that may be, but you don't have to be afraid. Believers are immune to the normal fears of life. Now, notice that Scripture does not say that for the believer there will be no terrors at night or no arrows by day, but the Word of God says that we do not have to be afraid of them. Why? Because committed believers dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, verse 1. Committed believers take their refuge in the Lord and they trust in God, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, My God, in him I will trust. Notice, by the way, the four names used for God in these first two verses of Psalm 91. Number one, Most High, that is El Elyon, emphasizing the strength and sovereignty of God. Number two, Almighty, or El Shaddai, the all-powerful God. Number three, Lord, that is Yahweh or Jehovah, the self-existent God who redeems his people. And number four, God or Elohim, emphasizing the power and majesty and deity of the Creator. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Now, do we really believe that verse or not? Yes? Okay, then believers are immune to the normal fears of life. But you say that you're still afraid. Well, that may be, but you are immune to fear. Illustration. You may be afraid that you're going to get smallpox, but you don't have to be afraid of getting smallpox because you've been inoculated and you are therefore immune to smallpox. Your fears are unfounded. Know the truth and stop being afraid that you're going to die of smallpox. Get the illustration? So believers who look to the Lord for deliverance, verse 3, and protection, verse 4, do not have to be afraid in any situation. Believers are immune to the normal fears of life. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers are immortal until their work in life is over. Believers are immortal until their work in life is over. Psalm 91 seems to go further than just teaching that the believer doesn't have to be afraid of death-threatening situations. It seems to be saying that the Lord will deliver the believer out of these situations. But now we have an apparent problem. Believers are not always delivered from dangerous situations, are they? Godly believers have died young of disease, for example, and believers have been martyred. How are all of these apparent contradictions to Psalm 91 to be explained? Well, I'm going to list four ways that students of Scripture have suggested, and maybe the full answer is a combination of these points. Number one, these are general Old Testament principles of God's protection and long life plan for the godly believer. But they are not absolutes, with no exceptions, especially if God in his sovereign ways chooses to test a believer or allow a situation, even death, so that there will be greater reward for the believer to the glory of God. Number two, it's not only physical life that is in view in this psalm. Life for the believer is eternal. Physical death is only a transition. Nothing in this world can take away or end the believer's life. The unbeliever faces eternal death, but the believer's life is safeguarded forever. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10, 28. Number three, Psalm 91 is messianic. These promises of protection from disease and sickness and death are in reference to Christ and only apply in a general way to the believer. We never read of the Lord being sick, for example, and his life was not taken from him. The Lord Jesus gave his life as a substitute to pay for our sins. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Until the Lord gave his life, no one could touch him. Remember how they tried to throw him over the cliff in Luke chapter 4? We read that, quote, passing through their midst, he went his way. Luke chapter 4, verse 30. And number four. Number four is our doctrinal point. Believers are immortal until their work in life is over. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:10. We believe that the Bible teaches that God is sovereign and God has a sovereign plan for each believer's life. And believers are immortal until their work in life is over. Even if thrown into a den of lions, as Daniel was in Daniel chapter 6, it was not Daniel's time to die. His life's work was not over. Even if bitten by a snake, a poisonous snake, as Paul was in Acts chapter 28, Paul's life's work was not over. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 says that Satan cannot touch the believer. Yes, it is true that our free wills and our choices and our decisions do become a factor in God's sovereign will for our lives. But still, believers are immortal until their work in life is over. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 91? Watch out for Satan's wrong use of Scripture. Watch out for Satan's wrong use of Scripture. We know that in the temptations of Christ, Satan quoted verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 91. Let's read those verses once again. "For he, that is God, shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." That's verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 91. But in the temptations of Christ, Satan quoted these verses out of context. These verses do not mean that you can throw yourself in front of trains or jump off high buildings like the temple and expect God's guardian angels to protect you. No, that would be testing God, which is wrong according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, which says, "You shall not test the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 6:16. This is the scripture that the Lord used to refute Satan in the temptations. I'm reading the account from Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. "Then Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written,'" and now comes the quote from Psalm 91, "'He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said,'" and now the quote from Deuteronomy 6:16, "'You shall not test the Lord your God.' Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." From Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. So the Lord was on guard and refuted Satan with the right use of Scripture. We too should be on guard, because Satan will craftily use Scripture. But Satan practices bad hermeneutics and pulls Scripture out of context. As a result, many believers have been tricked into making big mistakes in critical areas, such as money and marriage and movements of the Holy Spirit. There is a lot of false teaching, and there are a lot of false teachers out there. So know the Word and watch out for Satan's wrong use of Scripture.